Well, good evening, everybody. You can take your Bibles tonight. You can turn to Nehemiah chapter 1. Nehemiah chapter 1. So you got the 1st, 2nd Kings, Chronicles, and then Ezra, Nehemiah chapter 1. Tonight we're going to be looking at what it is to have a mind to work. A mind to work. We're going to look at the record in Nehemiah as an example of this to start. Nehemiah chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 1. It says, "The words of Nehemiah the son of Hakaliah, and it came to pass in the month Chislew, in the 20th year, as I was in Shushan the palace, that Hanani, one of the brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped, which were left of the captivity, and about Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity are in the province, or there in the province, are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire." That doesn't sound like a very good place to be, does it? Verse 4, "And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and" what? Prayed before the God of heaven. So Israel had been let go from Babylonian captivity. That was what was going on historically. They were let go. They could go back to their home country. But when they went back, they were persecuted, right? They were still facing affliction and reproach from the neighboring countries. And not only that, but their great city Jerusalem was in shambles. It was all broken down. And so Nehemiah's first course of action is to pray. What do I do about this situation? His first reaction is to go to God, to ask God, what do I do? Well, he prays to God, and God gives him guidance. We're going to go to chapter 2, verse 1. "And it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was brought before him," before the king. "And I took up the wine, and I gave it to the king. Now I had not been before time sad in his presence." Okay, so Nehemiah was the cup bearer. He brought the cup before the king. And this is the Persian king. This guy basically ruled, you know, huge parts of Europe, the Middle East, and northern parts of Africa. Like, all of that was his. And Nehemiah was the cupbearer to this guy. But he was sad. So the king asks him, verse 2, "Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick?" You seem pretty healthy guy. You don't have any reason to be sad. "This is nothing else but sorrow of heart. Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, let the king live forever. Why should not my countenance be sad when the city, the place of my father's sepulchres, lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire?" Like, I have a reason to be sad. My city is in shambles. Verse 4, "Then the king said unto me, for what dost thou make request? What would you like to ask? So I" what?
Prayed.
Again, he prayed. The king asks him, what would you like? And again, he prays. What do I say to the king? What's going to be okay? Verse 5, "And I said to the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me unto Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchres, that I may build it." So he wants to go back to the country of Judah and rebuild the city of Jerusalem. "And the king said unto me," the queen also sitting by him, "For how long shall thy journey be? And when will you return?" So it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. I told him, "Yeah, I'll be back soon." Verse 7. "Moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given to me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come into Judah." Now, the river it's referring to there is the river Euphrates, right, which is in the Middle East. So it separated Syria from the lands to the east of it, towards the Mediterranean Sea, where you have Jerusalem, Judah, you have Samaria and those areas. So they're pretty far out there in like Turkey right now. And he wants to go cross the river. And he wants letters to go with him from the king that say this guy's okay to pass. Because those areas were not being very kind to the Jews in Judah. Verse 8. "And a letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timber to make beams for the gates of the palace, which appertain to the house, and for the wall of the city, and for the house that I shall enter into or abide in. And the king granted me according to the good hand of" who? "My God upon me." So God showed him what to ask for. And the king gave him what he asked for. Basically, the emperor gave me all that I asked for because God was with me, is another way to translate that verse. The emperor gave me everything I asked for because God was with me. And he asks for timber from the king's forest, so that he asks for supplies to rebuild Jerusalem. And the king grants him that request. So if we want to learn to be a success, we have to go to God. We have to walk with God. We have to obey God, right? If we're going to ask God for help and guidance, then we have to do what he says and carry it out. And that's how we'll be a success. There was no reason this king had to give him all this timber out of his forest, right? He could have said, "Sure, go figure it out." But he grants him safe passage, and he grants him the supplies he needs to do it, which is pretty remarkable. Verse 9, "Then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me." So he even sends him some protection. That's pretty good. "When Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant the Ammonite heard it, it grieved them exceedingly that there was come a man to seek the welfare of the children of Israel." So now he's got some people in the neighboring areas, none too happy. He's coming to take care of the people of Israel and to rebuild. Verse 17. "Then said I unto them, you see the distress." So he goes and he talks to the people of Israel, the children of Israel, to say, "Here I am, I'm here to rebuild the city. You know, are you guys in with me?" And this is what he says to them. Nehemiah says unto them, "You see the distress that we're in, how Jerusalem lies in waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me." So I told them everything God did for me to get me to this point. "And also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work." So Nehemiah tells them what God did for him, and it inspires believing in those people so that they are ready to carry out the work. But what does verse 19 say? "But when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant, the Ammonite, and Geshem the Arabian heard it, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king?" Right? So they laughed them to scorn. Right? They laughed them to scorn. And the world is always going to laugh at people who stand on God's word. The world is always going to try to tear down people who stand strong on the Word of God. They'll get you to doubt. They'll get you to question. They'll do whatever they can to make you feel like you're less of a person, just like these guys did. But we have to stand fast on the promises of God, right? We have to be like, this is what God says and that's it. I don't care what other people think. I don't care what it's going to look like. Verse 20, and that was his response. Then I answered them and said unto them, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build. But you have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. So that was Nehemiah's response. His response was like, God's going to prosper me. God's going to take care of me. I don't care what you think. You've got no business in Jerusalem at all. Chapter 3 is a record of all the people who repaired Jerusalem and what portion they did. I'm just going to read a couple of verses to illustrate a point. Verse 1 says, Eliashib the high priest rose up with his brethren the priests, and they builded the sheep gate and sanctified it and set the doors of it. Even to the tower of Mia they sanctified it, unto the tower of Hanael. Verse 8. Next to him repaired Uzziel, the son of Hariha, of the goldsmiths. Next to him also repaired Hananiah, the son of the apothecaries. You know, basically the pharmacists, the doctors. And they fortified Jerusalem unto the broad wall. Okay? So you got pharmacists, you got merchants and goldsmiths, you got priests. Those are the people who are rebuilding Jerusalem. Verse 9, and next to him repaired Raphaiah, the son of Hur, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem. So the sons of the rulers, of the noblemen, came to help. Verse 12. And next to him, Shalem, the son of Halohesh, the ruler of the half part of Jerusalem. So the other half. He and who? His daughters. So even the daughters, the women, were helping to build. Verse 17. Oh, sorry. Verse 32. Verse 32. And between the going up of the corner unto the sheep gate repaired the goldsmiths and the merchants. Okay, so you have goldsmiths, you have merchants, you have all these different people who are helping to rebuild Jerusalem. These are not masons, they're not construction workers. Some of them were, but a lot of people were just common folk, priests, women, pharmacists, whoever could lend a hand, got involved in the repairing and rebuilding of Jerusalem. So Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 1, it says, but it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth, he was very angry, and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren and the army of Samaria, and said, what do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? And the question mark in between that is misplaced, but it basically means, do they think by offering sacrifices they'll rebuild it in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? So, you know, are they going to somehow use all this material that's now destroyed? How are they going to get this done? They're mocking them. Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. A little old fox, you know, a light-footed little animal can break down their wall. Like a little fox. Why? Because the people who were building it were just everyday people. They weren't, you know, construction workers. And so they were mocking them. That's how little people are going to think of you when you're walking with God. Okay? Just like these people were treated. That's how little people will think of you for walking with God. Why should we expect anything different? Right? The world won't understand. They'll mock us and they'll look at us like we're crazy. But we just have to walk out on what God promises. Verse 4. Hear, O our God. So again, this is Nehemiah's response. For we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head. Turn all their jesting and all their tomfoolery back on them. And give them a prey, give them for a prey in the land of captivity, which is let them be dragged away as captives into exile. So his prayer is turn their reproach back on them. Let them be carried away as captives. And cover not their iniquity, verse 5. And let not their sin be blotted out from before thee. For they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. Aren't they making you angry, God? Aren't they teeing you off just as much as they are me? And that was his prayer. Right? Whenever man, the world, speaks ill of us as believers, standing on the word, they're speaking ill of God, right? And he's going to back you up, right? Romans 8:31, right? If God be for us, who could be against us? And that's the attitude that Nehemiah had, was God will back us up. Verse 6, so built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, which means up, back up to half of its original height. For the people had a mind to what? To work. Because they had a mind to work. They were like-minded with each other, and they were like-minded with God. They had a mind to work. Okay? They set their mind to it. They weren't very experienced people. They really had no prior experience in building walls and gates, but they had a mind to work. They believed God would take care of them and had provided what they needed, and they went to work. Verse 7, and it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up, that they'd gotten halfway there, and that the breaches began to be stopped, the big holes in the walls weren't there anymore, they were very wroth, very angry, and conspired all of them together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. So before they were just sort of mocking them and laughing at them, and now it got halfway up and they were like, okay, we better do something about this. They decide we're going to have to fight them. We got to put a stop to it. Verse 9, nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Okay? So again, their response, to pray. They pray to God for help because the enemy is no longer just laughing and making fun. They were going to put a stop to it. Right? And what happens next is so typical. But God covers for it because he understands. And Judah said, you know, now they're, before it was just people laughing at them, and now they're starting to face actual opposition. So Judah says, the strength of the bearers of burdens is decayed. You know, these are the guys who are lifting all of that heavy timber from here to there. Okay? And it's, listen, they don't have like forklifts. Right, the timber just doesn't end up delivered to Jerusalem and plopped on the ground outside. They are taking the timber from the king's forest and marching it over to Jerusalem and then walking back and then carrying it over. And that's quite a journey each time. Right? You know, and I think about this record sometimes. I think, oh yeah, they're all just hanging out there in Jerusalem and sleeping in the rubble and getting up in the morning and working. No, they're going home to their villages every night. And they're getting up in the morning and walking back out to Jerusalem just to start their day. And they're making all these trips to get this material. And so they're saying the strength of the bearers of burden is decayed. These guys who are doing all this work, they're starting to slow down. And there's just so much rubbish so that we are not able to build the wall. Right? They start to complain about it. Verse 11, and our adversaries said, they shall not know, neither see, till we come in the midst among them and slay them and cause the work to cease. So this is their plan. They're going to sneak attack them, right? That's what it means. They're not going to see it coming. We're going to sneak attack them until they're right on top of them, and then we'll kill them. And verse 12, and it came to pass that when the Jews which dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times, many, many times, over and over again, from all the places whence you shall return unto us, they will be upon you. Okay? And what that basically means is, from all the different towns and areas that they were returning each night, there was people coming out from those towns to warn them against attacks, to warn them against where the enemy was going to come upon them next. Okay? And we're going to see that that was God working in the situation, that it was God who was giving them the warning. Verse 13, therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall. This is Nehemiah's plan. Set I in the lower places behind the wall and on the higher, and that word higher is should be the word exposed. And on the exposed places, even I set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. So now he's starting to become a military strategist. God is showing him what to do. Set people in their clans and their families at these different places and start arming them. Verse 14, and I looked up and rose up and said to the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, holy crap, we got a lot going on. We got to really buckle down here, guys. That enemy is really scary. Now, what he says to them is, be not ye afraid of them. Remember who? God. Remember God. So his instruction was, do not be afraid. Remember that God is with us. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren and your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. Remember that it's God who fights for you. Remember that. And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel, their plans, to nothing, to naught, that we returned all of us to the wall, everyone to his work. So remember, every village that they were going to go back to, when they were going to leave that village, they were going to get ambushed or sneak attacked on the way. And so, you know, God, through other people, warned them what's going on. He brings the plans to naught. And then once, you know, enough of their plans were faltered, it was safe to go back to the wall and to keep working. And so that's what they did. They returned unto the wall, everyone to his work. Verse 16, and it came to pass from that time forth, so from that point on, the half of my servants wrought in the work, they did the work, and the other half of them held both the spears and the shields and the bows and the habergeons, which is armor. And the rulers were behind all the house of Judah, gave their full support. So all of these different rulers and all the little towns around Jerusalem, they're all in now. They're giving their full support. Verse 17, they which builded on the wall and they that bear burdens with those that laded every one of his hands wrought in the work and with the other hand held a weapon. For the builders, every one had his sword girded by his side and so builded. And he that sounded the trumpet hung out with me. So there you go. So I had a sword in one hand, and I had the tools in the other, and they were getting the job done. Verse 19, and I said unto the nobles and the rulers and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the wall, one far from another. You know, we've got all these different families doing all these different things at the wall, and we're all kind of spaced out. Okay? So here's my plan. Verse 20. In what place, therefore, you hear the sound of the trumpet, resort ye thither to us. When you hear the trumpet blow, everybody start running towards that guy, to the sound of the trumpet, and our God shall fight for us. So Nehemiah was there, watching the wall, the trumpeter with him, and whenever there was to be an attack or something going on, blast the trumpet, and everybody sort of swarmed over there to protect that portion of the wall. And our God shall fight for us. So he used the trumpet to guide reinforcements to the point of attack. But in the end, who was winning the battles for them? God. God was doing it. Because they had a mind to work. Because they were like-minded on God's promise. Verse 21. So we labored in the work, and half of them held spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. They worked all day long. All day long. You know, it wasn't just like a regular 8-hour day. When the sun came up, they started. And when them stars came out and they had no light left, that's when they finished. And that's how they worked. Verse 22, likewise, at the same time, said I to the people, everyone with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and a labor on the day. So once the attack started really coming, they said, all right, we're going to start living here in Jerusalem to finish the work. You know, not going home anymore. We're going to stay here so that we can guard the place overnight and get the job done. Verse 23, so neither I nor my brethren nor my servants nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes. We never even changed our clothes. Everyone put them off for washing, which is a really bad translation. The Hebrew says, each one took his weapon to get water. Okay, each one took his weapon to get water. So even when they left to go get water, they had their weapons with them. And they just worked. They didn't change their clothes. They didn't do nothing. They worked till the job got done, because God was there to watch over them. Go to chapter 6, verse 15. Chapter 6, verse 15. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month of Elul, in 52 days. So in 52 days, they finished the wall. They finished the wall. Their success was because of God and because they had a mind to work. They were like-minded. Verse 16, and it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, saw that the work was finished, they were much cast down in their own eyes. They were super bummed. They tried their best, but they couldn't ruin the situation for them. They perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Even they had to admit that it was God who got it done. It was God who got it done. So now, instead of lying in waste and crying about it, the wall's built up, and he's super happy. In 52 days, they rebuilt that wall. We don't have any accurate measurements of what that wall was. In its time, today, the wall spans 2.5 linear miles of wall. So 2.5 miles of wall surround Jerusalem, of an average of 39 feet high and 8 feet thick. So that's one heck of a wall. I mean, it is unlikely that it was that large in its day, but it was no small construction task that they finished in 52 days, under duress and under attack. But they had a mind to work, they put their trust in God, and they got the job done. And God honored their desire and their heart to work. If they had given up, if they had put the brakes on, if they had said, this is just too much, I can't take it anymore, they would never have accomplished it. But God honored it, he fought for them, and they did it.